Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Though we walk in the flesh, we're in this human body, we're in this world. That's what he said, we walk in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. He said, even though we're in the flesh, our victories do not come through the flesh, but they come through this. For our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What are carnal weapons? Guns, knives, carnal thinking, intellect, lawyers, all kinds of things. Our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. If your weapons go through God, that means they've got to be supernatural. And the Bible said the spiritual things cannot be discerned with the carnal mind. And so a lot of people in your life are not going to know why you pray, why you read your Bible, why you worship, why you come to church. Those things are foreign to the carnal mind. But you realize this is my weaponry. And praise God, this is how I get my victory in Jesus' name. You may be seated. I closed on this point last Sunday, and I want to go back to this very quickly and just briefly talk about it. Worship is not what we do to appease the ego of God. Like, I think all of us have some ego. We like it when people say nice things about us. But God is not man that he should not be mocked, and he cannot be tempted. And God does not have man's ego. And so praise and worship is not about God's ego. What it really is, worship is the fabric of relationship between man and God. It's what provides access in our lives to the presence of God. That's what worship does. For the Bible says it this way. God inhabits the praise of his people. That's the King James. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. Other translations say, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. God, you are the Holy One, one translation says. You sit as king upon the praise of Israel. And the Chinese translation says, God comes and puts his chair in the middle of the praise of his people. So that's what praise does. It gets God into your life. And when God gets in your life, Jesus said we have life and more abundant. When God gets in your life, what happens? It becomes abundant. You just have access. Access is a major thing in the kingdom of God. Getting access to things that you were once denied. Almost everybody in this building is a Gentile, Sister Chris. And before Christ came, we were denied. We were on the out. The Bible says it this way. Those that were on the outside. We were on the outside. But when Christ came, he brought grace. And grace is the open door to everything God has. And so praise is that, it's that entity that gives God access to our lives. When you praise God, God can come right into your life. And that's the reason why God said, let everything. You know, I make this point, and people don't like this point, but the Bible said that we know that Jesus does not answer the sinner's prayer. The Bible says that. That doesn't mean that he can't. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have a covenant to. He doesn't have to. But we have a covenant with our prayers. But when you talk about praise, it said, let everything, and it says this on, the Bible doesn't make mistakes. Let everything that hath breath. That is every adulterer, every homosexual, every person that has a problem with drink, every drug addict. Let everything that hath breath, they're included in that. He said, let every one of them, let everything that hath breath, praise ye the Lord. Why would he say that? Why wouldn't he just say, let my people praise the Lord? No, he wants everybody to praise God because he gives him access. I used this the other day, but you remember the demonic of Gadara? How many demons did he have? You're going to be tested after service. He had 6,000 demons. I've met some demon-possessed people, but I don't know that I've ever met a person that had 6,000 demons. That's a pretty big, big load of demons. But when he began to praise God, his deliverance came. So what does that mean? Even if somebody's demon-possessed if they can praise God, it gives God access to come into their life. And so praise is a mighty weapon. It is called weaponizing your worship. That's what I've been talking about for the last few. Weaponizing your worship, where it's not just waving at the Lord, but you literally learn how to praise God in all things, in all times, in all situations. And then God comes in that praise, and then what does he do? He does what he did for Joseph. He turns what the devil means for evil, he turns it into God, into good. But your praise and your worship gives him the access to do that. And so we were talking when I closed last week about, and this is just a revelation to me. I've never heard anybody else talk about this, and I've been talking about this for years, and I preach it, and I think people are just going to fall out, but they don't, but they should. Let the high praise of God be in your mouth, a two-edged sword in your hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen. To execute. That just came as a revelation to me many years ago. But that means what is written in the Word of God is executed. When Popovich, now they lose every game. Spurs lose. I used to have season tickets. Now they'd have to pay me to go. Brother Rex Johnson and I from Austin, we used to have season tickets. Go down, but they were winning the whole time then. But every time a coach loses, and he wants to blame the players and not him, I say, "Coach, what happened?" He said, "We just didn't execute." That means in the locker room this week, we had all of our X's and O's on the blackboard. But when we came into this game, we didn't do what we did on the blackboard. We didn't execute. And so when the Bible tells us the high praise of God in our mouth, we execute the vengeance. What that means is whatever is written in the Word of God is now coming out of the pages. It becomes applicable. It becomes a real manifestation in your life. And it's talking particularly here about vengeance, which is what? It's talking about victory over the enemy. You know that roaring lion that goes about seeking whom he may devour? Folks, the Bible said time and chance happen to us all. So bad things happen to you, and it's not necessarily a devil. But when you start having just bang, 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 one thing right after another, that is a systematic attack of the enemy against you. And I see it in my life sometimes. Just some bad thing. I'm going to say, well, that's just an accident. But when I start seeing that attack, it's totally different than just the things of life. It's an attack. That's when I say, you know what I got to do? I got to get the high praise of God in my mouth, because I got to take what's written in this Bible and I've got to apply it to my life, not in Jerusalem, not in Israel, but in San Antonio, Texas, in Bexar County. This has got to apply right now. And the way I do that, I weaponize my worship. And so worship is an amazing thing. You know, and I'm just always so upset when bad things happen. When a shooter goes into a Walmart and shoots 15 people, and then somebody's interviewed and they say, well, everything happens for a purpose. You will beg my pardon, or I beg your pardon. I want to punch him in the face. Because everything does not happen for a reason. There is a real devil. And no, God did not plan that, and God did not allow that. We say, well, why did it happen? Did you know the Bible said in Psalms, I got it in my notes, the Bible said that God has delivered his strength into captivity, into the enemy's hand. Who does the Bible say is the enemy? It said the flesh is the enemy of the spirit. And so the reason why bad things happen is because Satan is still in this earth and he has been stripped of his power, but he is a thief. And so he steals the power of man and flesh and brings these things to pass. And no, tornadoes are not an act of God. Your insurance policy says they are, but it's an insurance policy. It's not a Bible. They don't know what they're talking about. And when somebody kills a bunch of people and somebody rapes somebody, that's not happening for a reason. It's happening because there is a devil that is powerless, but somebody has given him their fleshly power and he's operating through that. And so that's what this is talking about. And so when you begin to praise God, what happens? You're taking that power back from the devil and you're executing on him the word of God and saying, this is not going to happen in my life. It might happen down the street, but not in my life. It's going to happen to somebody else, maybe, but not me, because I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm the head and not the tail, and I'm a worshiper, and I'm going to stand right here and worship God, and when I do, God is going to inhabit my praise, and my praise is going to become a weapon of warfare, not a carnal weapon, but a weapon that goes through God, and it's going to turn this situation around. Remember, I've said this so many times. Prayer goes up to heaven, but praise doesn't. Praise rolls around the circumference of the earth, and that means God has to come down to get it. And so if you want something quick, begin to praise God. Just begin to praise Him for who He is. Praise Him for your creation. Praise Him for your salvation. Praise Him for your provision. Just talk about what a good God He is. I want to tell you that I hear people blaming God all the time for the things, but my God couldn't do that. That's foreign to my God. My God cannot lie. My God does not steal. The Bible said He doth not withhold any good thing. That's the God that I serve. And so I am a worshiper, and my worship is a weapon, and I've learned to weaponize it in the direst of circumstances and seeing God turn it around. Weaponized worship quenches three of the most common darts of the devil. I don't have long, but I want to do these three in the next 10 minutes if I can. I know so many people. You know, for years I didn't know anybody, but I know a good number of people, Gene, that have committed suicide in the last 15 years. I know people that have committed. What happens to them? The devil comes into their life. And remember what Jesus said. He said, I've come that you might have life and it more abundantly, but the thief cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Did you know that the devil desires suicide for everybody in this building right now, including myself? That's what would be the epitome of the devil, if we would all kill ourselves, like the mass suicide in Jonestown. That was the devil's heyday. He loves that. And so the Bible teaches us that there is a real enemy. But Jesus said there's a remedy for that. This is the words of Jesus. He said, now that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Jesus is now introducing a subject that is revolutionary. He said it's what comes out that is detrimental. It's what comes out that destroys. I can't be around people very long that are using God's name in vain, that speak filthy. But I also don't like to be around people that might not be cursing, but they are speaking forth principles that are anti-Christ or anti-God or anti-Bible. And I just know that everything they're saying is wrong. I don't want to be around those people because it defiles them. And the Bible said evil communication corrupteth good manners. I don't want to hear it, because it's alien to me. It's foreign to me. I don't want to hear it. Jesus said, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. What I'm talking to you about is learning to weaponize your worship. No matter what happens in your life, instead of cursing, and probably worse than cursing, is negative confession or blaming God. All of this sets forth a precedent and a pattern in your life. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so Jesus said the cure for what the viper cut down, the devil, the serpent, what he comes to do, he said the cure is in your mouth. Remember what the Bible said, the word of faith is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. The word of faith, calling those things that be not as though they were. Do you have enough weapon? Are you skilled enough in the weaponry of God to look at something and not say what it is, but say what it's going to be? Look at a cancer and say, in the name of Jesus, I see my wife whole. I see her back in church. I see her cooking at the stove. I see her singing. I see her driving the car. I see her at the mall with my credit card. Have you got that kind of faith? That's what he's talking about. Jesus said, what proceeds out of your mouth either defiles you or it gives you victory. You need to learn to weaponize your worship. It's wonderful to sing along here with the worship team, but that's not the greatest use of your worship. The greatest use of your worship is to pull it out like a sword. In the midst of an attack, begin to praise and worship Almighty God. Jesus, and I'm not sure if this is available. I hope it would be to all Christians that are professing Christ. But I think it's available only to those that are filled with the Spirit. Because I said it's the gifts of the Spirit. It's also the weapons of the Spirit. It's real hard to use the weaponry of the Spirit if you're not baptized in the Spirit. That's the reason why we're a Holy Ghost church. Not because it's a doctrine or a denomination or we just want to hear you speak in tongues, because it's the evidence that you are now filled with the Spirit, and with the filling of the Spirit comes all of these gifts and all of these weapons. And you are not an old creature anymore. You're what? You're a new creation, praise God. You are a new species. You're not like, you know, people like to argue about race. That's not the problem. It's not about race. The problem is, are you of the old species or the new species? Are you unsaved or are you saved? Are you born in the flesh only or are you born in the Spirit? When you're born in the Spirit, the Bible said in the kingdom of God, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male or female. God doesn't care about race. He wants to know one thing. Have you received my Spirit? And so Jesus was talking about what comes out of your mouth either defiles you or it gives you power over the enemy. And so Jesus said this when he was talking about the Holy Spirit. And this was prophetically. It had not yet been given. But Jesus said this in John 7:38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And so Jesus was saying, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, it's going to flow out of you. It's going to flow out of you. Did you ever try to drink out of a fire hose? Well, it'd blow your lips off. That's what happens to the devil. When the devil comes against you, if you've got that river flowing out of you and you just begin to praise in the face of the devil, it just looks like a dog with his, did you ever have a dog hang his head out the window and that wind's blowing? That's what happens to the devil when that river flows out of you. You say, well, how does the river flow out? When you are getting the worst report of your life saying, praise God, I know my God is able. My Lord is going to turn this for my good. This is going to bless the kingdom of God. That's weaponizing your worship. And friend, I'm telling you a principle that's hard to achieve because it's not natural. It's not normal. It's not normal when bad things happen to you to smile. It's not normal when bad things happen to you to praise God. It's normal to get on the phone and say the worst news is just find somebody to be sympathetic with you and help you grow in your fear and in your doubt. That's what's normal. But people that are in the Holy Ghost, they're laughable. The carnal mind cannot understand it. You're a joke to the carnal mind. They said why they're crazy. Said they just had this happen and they were just praising God. They said they just had a wreck total their car, but they said, thank God, now God's going to give me a new car. He's going to turn this around somehow. Somehow God is going to turn this around. I live in it. Michelle used to be my secretary. I loved Michelle. She was an awesome secretary. She was not as sweet to some people, I guess, because I would get a few complaints, but she was awesome to me. And she was a hard worker. And she was always protective of me and the church. And so there was a lady that fell in the old building, and we used to, Becky and I sat down there, and we had a little table between us, and she fell, and it cut her head, cut the woman's head. And so she started going to the doctor. She went to the doctor for weeks. Michelle said, you know what she's doing? Said she is going to those doctors because she is building up this case because she's going to sue the church. I said, thank the Lord. I hope she does. Michelle said, what do you mean, Pastor? I said, that woman's a tither. I said, if she sues the church, we got insurance. She'll get the insurance and she'll pay the tithes on insurance. She just walked away shaking her head. I always look at the bright side, folks. I just believe God's going to turn it around. I just find a way to praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord's on my side, and I can't lose. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to go. I want you to do that right now. I want you to think about the biggest attack that has happened in your life right now. And I want you to get enough faith that God's going to turn that thing around. And that biggest attack is going to be the biggest blessing of my life. And I'm just going to praise God for it right now. Right now. Just stand on your feet and begin to praise God for your biggest problem. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I've told you this story a dozen times because, I mean, it's like the Bible to me. Man lived right over in one of these houses. Remain standing. I'm through. Lived right over in one of these houses. And he was a good Catholic man. And that was when Jim Jones was killing people in the jungle. And so he thought I was a cult leader. And he threatened me one day with a rifle. I mean, with a loaded rifle, he threatened me. And he called me Jim Jones to my face. I was just nice to him. And finally, one day, he sold me that house. He sold it one time. He knew I wanted it real bad for the church. He sold it to somebody else, and he financed it. And they never paid him. He had to repossess, and he had to call me. He said, look, I had to repossess. I said, you still want it? Oh, I said, oh, yeah. And so he sold me that house. And we went to close. And he just broke. It's this man that was just, when people hate, before they hate, they're afraid. He was afraid of us. He thought we were cults. So he was afraid of us, so then he hated us. When we got to that closing, he just broke at that closing. And he sold me the house at a good price. He said, I don't want to charge you that much. And at the closing, he gave the church $14,000. Became a friend to me. He still calls me occasionally, and we do each other favors. But at one time, he's still a Catholic. He don't come to church here, but he's my friend. I call him right now and ask him for something. He would help me. The Lord's able to turn anybody and anything around. He's just waiting on you to get your weapon of worship out and say, I'm going to weaponize my worship, for my weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And God's going to turn this thing around and make this mess a miracle in Jesus' name. If you're in this building right now and you've got any kind of mess in your life and you've got some faith going on in your heart, I want you to get out of that pew. And as you're walking up here, you're saying, God is going to turn my mess into a miracle. And I'm believing it's going to happen very suddenly and very quickly. If you've never given your heart to Jesus and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're living life at a great disadvantage, I urge you to come right now and pray this simple prayer and say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Come into my heart. If you've already done that, but you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, come up here and say, God, now baptize me with the power of the Holy Spirit. If you were sprinkled as a baby, that's great. But you've never been baptized as an adult. You need to come and let us baptize you in water. All these things are in the Bible. And a lot of people have to argue about why, how, and what effect. I just say, if it's in the Bible, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's don't argue about it. Just do whatever's in the Word of God. If you've got any kind of a need in your life, I know we had that altar service in the middle of the service where people were touched and healed. But if you're still here and you're sick, God's able to heal you. If you've got a problem on your job, God's able to fix that. I'm going to tell you, if you will commit everything into the Lord's hands, there's nothing that He can't change. It don't matter whether it's spiritual, whether it's fleshly, whether it's physical, whether it's monetary, whether it's relationship. It just doesn't matter. God is able.